Did you think you'd be hearing a holiday ad this early? We know, it's early. But planning ahead is essential before heading into one of the busiest seasons of the year. Beat the rush with Minted, a curated marketplace of unique Christmas and holiday cards, gifts, and seasonal decor from artists around the world. Bring your traditions to life with independent art and design this holiday season. Use code PODCAST for 20% off Minted holiday cards and gifts.
88% of the work week is spent communicating, typing, talking, and going back and forth on topics until everyone is on the same page. It's time for a change. It's time for Grammarly. Grammarly's AI ensures your team gets the point across the first time, eliminating misunderstandings and streamlining collaboration. It goes beyond basic grammar to help tailor writing to specific audiences. Whether that means adding an executive summary, fine-tuning tone, or cutting out jargon in just one click. 4 out of 5 professionals say Grammarly's AI boosts buy-in and moves work forward. It integrates seamlessly with over 500,000 apps and websites, is implemented in days, and is IT approved. Join over 70,000 teams and 30 million people who trust Grammarly to elevate their communication. Visit grammarly.com/enterprise to learn more. Grammarly. Enterprise ready AI.
Look, everyone's entitled to their opinion. It's something some people probably don't like, the haka, and I always enjoyed it. I enjoyed the haka, and I used to love it as a kid growing up. I used to love watching it, and just it was intriguing for me.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Off the Ball Daily.
You're welcome back. Now we are looking ahead to the Katie Taylor fight this weekend. She's up once again against Amanda Serrano in Dallas, Texas this time. And I'm delighted to say that International Boxing Hall of Fame inductee Christy Martin is back with us on the show. Christy, good to chat to you again. How are you doing?
I'm well. How are you guys?
I'm very well, thank you. So just set the scene for us. What is the hype like around this fight in particular? Obviously, it's part of a bigger card, which we might get onto in a moment. Certainly the headline in AT&T Stadium. But just specifically for Taylor Serrano, what's the buzz in the United States like for this?
Yeah, well, you know, everybody's talking about Tyson and Jake Paul first, but just shortly, like in the next half breath, it's about Taylor Serrano. And really, that's the fight of the night. We don't know what's really going to happen with Tyson and Jake Paul, but we know that Katie Taylor and Amanda Serrano are going to put on one hell of a show.
Yeah,
that's a guarantee.
For sure. It's been a rivalry that it kind of feels like we haven't got a full helping of just yet. I mean, COVID came along and ruined one of the first opportunities we had for these two women to step into the ring. Obviously, the Paul Tyson thing initially got postponed during the summertime. So we have this one unbelievable fight from 2022. And it kind of feels like this whole audience just cannot wait for Friday night to come along now.
I really think that the true fight fans, this is the fight they're tuning in to watch because, as I said, guaranteed war, and fight fans want to see wars, and they want to see, you know, it's not going to be a tactical, chess match. This is going to be a fight, and both fighters have, you know, they want to make a statement. Obviously, Amanda needs to call or wants to come back and say, hey, this is, you know, this is my country. This is my land. This is my home. And I want to win this fight. And Katie's going to come here to prove that the first one wasn't a fluke. It was close, but, you know, that she's the stronger, better fighter. I'm excited and anxious to watch this fight. I think, you know, both fighters have changed a little bit since the fight, gotten a little older. But with age sometimes comes wisdom. and then definitely we know more and more experience. And experience of being on such a huge show and such a huge platform. Katie Taylor is Katie Taylor. I mean, over there on the other side of the pond, she's huge. Unfortunately, women's boxing is not as popular here in the United States as probably everywhere else. Amanda is fighting for her place in boxing history. So it's a huge opportunity. And so many people that really aren't fight fans are going to be watching because Tyson and Jake Paul.
We know all about Katie Taylor over here. And to be fair, we've become very familiar with Amanda Serrano. But maybe let's just focus a little bit more on Serrano, because independent of Taylor, she has carved out an absolutely all-time combat sports career. How early did you realise that you were witnessing one of the greats in women's combat sports and women's boxing?
You know, unfortunately over here, we don't get a chance to see. We do more reading about women right. fighters. So actually, when I went to the first fight with Katie Taylor and Amanda Serrano and in Madison Square Garden, everyone was telling me it was going to be a sellout. And I'm just like, I won't believe it until I see it. To be in Madison Square Garden, sold out, with the electricity that was in the air between these two women brought this much hype. It was unbelievable. Both of them are, you know, they're just elite fighters. And the better thing is they're both elite people, good people. And I appreciate both sides. You know, I just want to go fight. I don't have, you know, I don't have a pick here. But I appreciate both fighters because they remember us from back in the 90s, the whole group of fighters that were there before them that helped make it a lot easier for them to get the opportunities, to get the paydays, to get the exposure that they're getting today. And trust me, that doesn't go unseen.
It is such an interesting clash of styles as well because of Amanda Serrano's 47 wins, 31 of them have been knockouts. Of Katie Taylor's 23 professional wins, 6 of them only have been knockouts. However, this is not to say that Katie Taylor's fights have been unexciting. They've been absolutely crazy fights that have gone the distance. So just because she doesn't have the knockout power that Serrano has, she's still delivered some of the great Irish moments of drama in sport over the last 2 to 3 years. It's quite unique for a boxer.
Absolutely. And the thing is, with this fight, I don't see anyone getting knocked out or getting stopped unless there's a cut or something like that. Amanda has power at a much lighter weight. Now they're stepping up, you know, she's stepping up in weight, and I don't see anybody getting knocked out. And plus, I don't want anybody to get knocked out because Amanda gets one more knockout, she ties or breaks my record. So I don't want her to break it.
Right. So you hold the record for knockouts in women's boxing, full stop, is it?
Right.
Okay.
Yes.
I see. That's an interesting wrinkle for this weekend then. The fact that we have two greats stepping into the ring also is really, really important here because, like, we got to know Chantelle Cameron just by dint of the fact that she came to Dublin and beat Katie Taylor. And then when Katie Taylor had the rematch, I mean, it was just this massive thing where it was all about revenge and it's all about rivalries in the ring. And I think there's a good deal of respect between these two fighters. There's been a little bit of needle from Serrano's perspective in terms of how much and how big the purse might actually be for this fight and how much he's getting paid versus how much Taylor's getting paid. But still, in the midst of all of this, there is this deep respect between two fighters who are pretty close anyway to the top of their game.
Absolutely. And you know, it's all about, you have to hype it, you have to keep the media interested, keep the fans interested in the fight. So both sides have to say some stuff that 5 years down the road, we're not really going to mean, but, you know, just to keep the interest. And plus if Amanda can punch her needle at Katie a little bit and get her on edge, that's already a round up. You know, if she gets her a little upset, a little off her norm before she even goes into the ring. So it could all be just psych. It's not really real.
Yeah. And you've obviously spent some time with Katie, so I presume you know how difficult it seems to actually get under Taylor's skin because she does seem completely unflappable.
She's really, you know, I think that's over there with you guys because Gogarty, which I fought way back in the day, Deirdre Gogarty was the same. She was just like, just nothing was going to shake her. I tried to get under her skin. You know, she's just like even keeled. You know, nothing was going to get her upset. But I also didn't know that she has that switch, though. She does have that pretty mean, tough person, and I think Katie is the same.
And when you spoke to Gogarty after the fight, did she say, listen, Chrissy, you actually did get under my skin and I didn't actually show it? Or did you feel that actually she was a complete brick wall?
I think brick wall.
Right.
Yeah.
That moment in the history of boxing is a key point. It's relevant this week because, I mean, you guys fought, obviously, on the undercard of one of the Mike Tyson, Frank Bruno fights. And obviously Mike Tyson's in the ring again this weekend. Looking back on it now and remembering the hype around that fight, but more importantly, remembering how amazing that fight was between you and Deirdre Gogarty. Did you envisage a greater rise for women's boxing in the decade that followed, for example?
Well, I thought that women's boxing would start to really grow and expand, and more promoters and more TV networks would put female fights on. That really hasn't happened. And like in Amanda and Katie's situation with their career, you know, you have to take advantage of what you're given. And these two women have been given awesome opportunities to fight under Jake Paul, to fight on Jake Paul promotions. Katie's been on huge shows with Eddie Hearn. You have to take advantage of what's good to you. You hope, and just by being in the ring, they're promoting women's boxing. And that was my take on it. Look, I don't have to go out there and say, look at me, I'm a woman fighter. That's obvious. Just go out there and put on a good show so people say, wow, if that woman can fight, if these two women can fight like this, then we want to see other women fight. And that's how you promote women's boxing. And from this point forward, you know, Jake Paul is doing, he's doing great things for other fighters. So I think he will continue to give women boxers a great platform.
Hopefully. I guess the concern is that when you look back at maybe 96 and that amazing night that you guys had, and maybe not seeing a whole generation of other women fighters getting the same opportunities that you had that night, I just part of me thinks and part of me questions what will happen after Katie Taylor, because whilst her fights have been unbelievable, they've been packed out whenever she's fought here in Dublin, obviously headlining the Garden in 2022 was such a huge moment, and they have delivered. The fights have been unbelievably entertaining, so things couldn't have gone any better in terms of what Katie Taylor could have controlled. And yet, as you pointed to at the start of this interview, Christy, there maybe is a feeling stateside that the sport itself, from a women's standpoint, just hasn't gathered this momentum that it maybe should have as a result of the two greats that we're about to witness in the ring this weekend.
It's a tough, boxing as a whole is a tough sell. Mm. I mean, it's a tough sell for the guys. It's a tough, and it's especially tough sell for female boxers. You know, part of it is, and this is what Jake Paul and Amanda are bringing to boxing. They understand that the world we live in now is about social media. And so it's about promoting yourself. But with that being said, you can promote yourself all you want on social media, but you need to know how to fight as well. So you have to captivate the audience, but you have to entertain them once you get them there. And that's what definitely we're going to see with these two. And hopefully we continue to get new blood in both the male and female parts of boxing.
Attaching themselves to this specific bout on Saturday is an interesting one. Like, I mean, people will readily forget that Jake Paul was involved in promoting the 2022 matchup between these two fighters and did a phenomenal job of that in the Garden in 2022. But in terms of being a co-main event for a fight like Jake Paul and Mike Tyson, it's a fight that's come under a huge amount of criticism. It's been referred to as a bit of a clown show. So talking solely about Jake Paul as the fighter here and Mike Tyson as the fighter that he currently is, not the fighter that he was, do you think greats like Serrano and Taylor really need to associate themselves with that?
Ooh, you know, that's one of those that you can see both sides easily, but I think the exposure that they're going to get from being on this card is huge. They're going to open the eyes of more and more boxing fans and people that are not really boxing fans. So yeah, unfortunately, even if I had a young male fighter that I wanted to get great exposure, which I did try to get one of my young male fighters on the show. All fighters want to be on the show because you want this huge exposure. It, good, bad, or indifferent, what they're saying about the main event doesn't matter. It's about what you're going to do on the undercard.
And the payday. I mean, I'm sure Taylor and Serrano have.
Doesn't hurt.
Yeah, they've been underpaid for quite a section of their career. So cashing in, I mean, it's hard to begrudge them for that, right?
Absolutely. When you figure out how to get paid, you can't hate on anybody.
No. I presume that is one of the things that is a sea change from your time in the ring, Christy, that while there was one or two moments of brilliant exposure, obviously being on the cover of Sports Illustrated, I'm sure that came with a couple of lucrative opportunities for you. Maybe the actual purse that was available to you for solely being a fighter wasn't always what you would have wanted.
Oh, look, when I fought on Tyson Bruno, I made $15,000. Gogarty made somewhere around 3,000 or 5,000. between is what I heard. I don't really know. Maybe she made a little more. And then I don't know how much they're truly making Friday night, but I think it's a million plus. So, hey, no, it's a big difference.
Yeah. There's obviously, we had you on the show last year, and for anybody who is unfamiliar with your story, they should totally go back and listen to the brilliant interview that you gave. Just one aspect from your career that I wanted to ask you about now that I didn't ask about then is it's just about the end of your career, the end of your fighting days, because there's a lot of talk right now about when Katie Taylor should step away from the ring. And look, that's totally her decision. Nobody is bringing this up as a matter of Katie Taylor is past her best or she can't still do it in the ring. That is never in question. It's totally a welfare conversation that's happening. When you got to the stage where you eventually stepped out of the ring, how do you come to that decision? Because I know that you boxed into your 40s. You went later than a lot of fighters would have gone. Was that a dilemma for you in terms of your own welfare when you get into your 30s, into your late 30s?
This is what I said all leading up to the end of my career. And during my career, when it becomes a job, I don't want it anymore. I loved what I did. And I wish I would have walked away when it became a job. But by that point, I needed a job. So I had to stay. So I hope we have a great fight. Maybe it ends in a draw. And Katie's probably ready to retire. You know, she's had a lot of fights, a lot of hard fights, and you know, go out on top. And the problem with fighters, we don't see many fighters that walk away and stay away, that go out on top. You know, we have a tendency to stay around too long, and then you become someone else's stepping stone. So hopefully they have a great fight. And, you know, they both could call it a day and do positive stuff for women's boxing, do positive stuff, talk about, you know, whatever's near and dear to their heart. Go out and support those kind of foundations.
Is it possible to be able to make the right decision for yourself, I wonder, in the ring? This goes for all fighters, because I presume if you're one of the best in the world, one of the best to ever do it in any given discipline, it's got to be impossible for you to pull yourself away from that when you feel like you're still in the mix.
Absolutely. I mean, look, I'm 56 years old and I wake up some mornings and I'm pretty sure I can kick Clarissa Shields' ass. So, yeah, it's hard. It's hard to realize that, you know, you're older and look, boxing's a tough sport and you take a lot of punishment. Your body takes a lot of punishment and, it comes that time you have to walk away, but it's hard. And you have to make that decision on your own. No one can tell you can't fight anymore, because most of us, if someone tells us we can't do it, we're going to go do it just because someone told us we can't or we shouldn't.
It's interesting you mentioned Clarissa Shields' name there. Just when I was looking up your last fight as a professional, it was in 2012, literally the same year that Clarissa Shields breaks through at the London Olympics. It's almost like the baton got passed from one great American boxing hope to the next. Was that I presume that was just a completely accidental thing. You didn't see Shields coming through and think to yourself, right, women's boxing is in good hands. I can finally ride off into the sunset here.
No, I wouldn't even consider it in good hands with Clarissa Shields. That's in good hands with Katie Taylor and Amanda Serrano. No, these two are great fighters and they're good people. And that's good hands.
One thing I need to ask you about, Christy, is that people will have seen the still images coming out of Hollywood over the past couple of months. There is a Christy Martin biopic coming our way. What can you tell us?
Not a lot. I can't tell you a lot, but I'm actually here in Charlotte, North Carolina now on set. And it's amazing. It's amazing. Sydney Sweeney is awesome. And Ben Foster is in the movie. It's awesome. It's awesome. Hopefully it hits the screen this time next year. And yeah, it'll be really cool.
When did you find out that Sydney Sweeney got the part of Christy Martin?
Earlier this year. Yeah. Not that long ago, because it all happened really quick. And then boom, we were filming.
Was it an extensive audition process, or was this pretty much the role was made for her, do you think?
I think she's doing a great job.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
It's going to be amazing. As I say, we've spoken to you about your story in the past. It's, I presume, what they have to work with as a group of artists, as a group of actors, is just phenomenal. I mean, it's going to be amazing for you, I suspect, to see this play out on the big screen.
It's going to be, it's, you know, just to be on the set and see it happening and all it takes to make the movie work. And then I take that deep breath and I'm like, wow, this story is about me. So it's really overwhelming and, you know, it's exciting. It's exciting and makes me nervous.
Yeah. I can imagine. And do the writers come to you to ask for permission to write something? Do they have something already written and they say, Christy, do you want to be involved in this process? Or what's your involvement in like the pre-production of all of this?
I sat and talked with Mira Fox and we did the script together.
Right. Brilliant. Well, Christy, yep. Cannot wait to see it. Hopefully it is next year when it comes out, but whenever it does hit our screens, I'm sure it's going to be absolutely phenomenal. One last question. Who's going to win on Friday night and how's it going to happen?
I think it's going to be a great fight. Amanda's probably going to win. And I think it comes to, she's younger. She's going to be more relaxed. It's her atmosphere. It's her, she's Jake Paul's fighter. I hope it's a draw.
Okay.
I really like them both. And I don't, you know, I'm not going to cheer for either side. I'm just going to cheer for a great fight.
Cool. And sorry, are you going to Dallas?
No, I can't. I have some other stuff going on.
Yeah, you're too busy on set.
I had signed an agreement to commentate Amanda and Katie's fight, and then I had to pull out.
So. Ah, right.
Yeah,
well, that's Netflix's loss, to say the very least. But I'm sure there'll be another opportunity.
I hope so.
Listen, Christy, it's a pleasure always chatting to you. Thank you so much for your time this morning. I know it's morning time there in North Carolina. We'll chat to you again soon. Cheers.
Absolutely. Bye-bye.
Off the Ball Daily.
88% of the workweek is spent communicating, so it's important your team does it well. Enter Grammarly. Grammarly's AI helps teams communicate clearly the first time. It shows you how to make words resonate with your audience, helps with brainstorming, and lets you instantly create and revise drafts in just one click. Join over 70,000 teams and 30 million people who use Grammarly to move work forward. Go to grammarly.com/enterprise to learn more. Grammarly, enterprise ready AI.